This is one of those Sabbaths where you don't have to preach because everything that came before you gave the message. So let's engage in the foolishness of preaching here for a minute. Just for the fun of it. Your bulletin picture. Says it all, along with Sandy's song service, which was right on. I was listening to the messages and all those songs. And then Tyler, thanks for that scripture reading. That was appropriate and well done. And then Tanya's song, God Watching Over Us. And then this picture, Jesus in the garden. The title of the sermon is Don't Run from the Cross, and I don't know what says it better than this. The weight of the sins of the world on him. And he knew it was coming. And yet he said, not my will, but thine be done. Thank the Lord for that. Let's consider our scripture reading here. If you'll put John 3:14 back up on the screen there for a minute. We've got several scriptures to put up on the screen this morning as we think about this thought, don't run from the cross. I'm going to tell you what inspired me to preach this sermon, and I've altered it considerably, but I first heard it from a Catholic priest on the Catholic channel, and it was so powerful what he was saying. I wanted to shake him and say, do you know what you're saying? Do you know what you're really talking about? Because of the whole Catholic structure and administration, and not the people, but the way the organization is run, I wanted to shake him. Do you know what you're saying? So I've rewritten some of the thoughts that he had, but put in our spin and our emphasis on it. Don't run from the cross. Now, as Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Nicodemus had much that he wanted to consult Christ about. Evidently, his understanding of what was about to happen at the period of time in which he lived in was lacking. But the teaching of Jesus was so powerful, and the things that Jesus did were so unbelievable that he had to talk with Jesus. And I can only imagine that he came by night to conceal his own identity and avoid derision from anyone that would spot him conversing with Jesus, because Jesus was a lightning rod as he went from town to town, with every comment on the planet being said about him. Some glorifying God, others saying this is not of God. You can only imagine what's going through the mind of Nicodemus. Little did he know that Jesus was to unfold for him the destiny of Messiah. He had no idea what Jesus was saying. But time would bear out Jesus' words, and then he would understand. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is this, so must the Son of Man be lifted up? What did that mean? What did it mean to Nicodemus? What does it mean to us now in 2009? We're going to spend a little bit of time on that. What does that mean? Matthew 27:35. Matthew 27:35, and then we're going to look at Mark 15:24, and then John 19:23, and I'll repeat those. But Matthew 27:35. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots. Now, the only thing I wanted to emphasize here was this. And they what? Crucified him. All right, now let's take a look at Mark 15:24. Matthew makes it absolutely clear that physically they had taken Christ and they had crucified him. Mark again says it absolutely as clear as it can be said. And when they had crucified him. It's the second account. Okay, and now the third account, John 19:23. Now we believe that this happened. And we understand that it happened. But when you read it in writing and you think about what it means, then you start understanding Matthew's perception, Mark's perception, and now John 19, verse 23. A little different the way they write it. Same event. John 19, 23. He adds this, then the soldiers, the previous verses, and they crucified him. But now John's filling in some more detail. And then the soldiers, when they had, what? Crucified Jesus. That means that somebody laid hands on the person of Jesus, took him to the cross, and nailed him there. Three times, absolutely clear that someone took Jesus to the cross and crucified him. Easton's Bible Dictionary says this, crucifixion was regarded as the most horrible form of death. But to a Jew, it would acquire an even greater horror because of the curse found in Deuteronomy. Where, of course, you know the scripture says, cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. So to the Jews, it was even worse. It was bad enough to be crucified, but to a Jew, this was as bad as it gets because there was a curse by God. The accursed tree was slowly heaved up above the earth. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. So must the Son of Man be heaved up on a cross. On a cross, the Son of Man must be raised above the earth. On a cross, the Son of Man, as Jesus said, must be lifted up. Must be lifted up. Now, let's look at John 8:28. This is really a neat scripture. And then we're going to read an observation from Family Bible Notes. But read this with me. John 8:28, and then he said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. Family Bible Notes observes this thought. This is another of the obscure hints which the Savior was in the habit of giving concerning the manner of his approaching death and its mighty results. The Jews raised him upon the cross to destroy him, but God made this the way of raising him to universal dominion. Now, let's look at Luke 9:51. And we'll look at 3 points from the scripture verse. Luke 9:51. Now it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received. How? Interesting wording. That he would be received up. So he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. 3 points. What happened? It came to pass, what might it be? That is the time. It came to pass when the time was come. It came to pass when the time was come. I want to suggest to you, this is a pre-arranged appointment. That's why the wording is specifically saying, Jesus just didn't happen to this moment. This is a pre-arranged moment. This is a pre-arranged time. This is a pre-arranged decision. This is something that God figured out for you and for me before any of this ever happened. So the scripture says, when the time came to pass, when the time was come. Here, in the midst of everything that's happening, the Holy Spirit directs Jesus that the time has come. That he, and I love this, that he should be received up. Now, you can put a couple of different meanings on this, and a lot of commentators do. But I'm choosing to just stick with the earthly fulfillment of this. The time came, it came to pass, that Jesus knew that he was to be received up. That he was to fulfill those words that he spoke to Nicodemus. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Tyler and I were talking about what that meant before we came out on the platform. What did it mean? That Jesus would pick an obscure event in Moses' life and then dialogue with Nicodemus about it and then say, so must I be lifted up. But he didn't say I, he said, so must the Son of Man. So Nicodemus is scrambling in his own mind. What must he have been thinking? How did he accept and understand that? A teacher in Israel, somebody who was highly respected, with understanding and wisdom about the things of God. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. Very powerful. All prearranged, right on schedule, right on time. The human element, as we pointed out in our bulletin, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, not my will, but yours be done. Do you feel your own self being drawn to a point, being drawn to a time when the time is going to come to pass, you're going to have to face the cross? Do you feel that in your own life? If you don't, I'm here to suggest to you that you will. If some of you have already and have come out victorious, I know some of you personally here, and you've struggled with your time. And Jesus told you, just like I'm saying to you this morning, don't run from the cross. Let me help you. Let me give you the strength. Let me give you the victory. Don't run from the cross. So the time had passed. It was here. Jesus was to be received up, and I love what's next. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is a preordained time. He knew what was going to happen, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And not only did he set his face to go to Jerusalem, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is a focus that's unbelievable. This was a decision. This was a choice. This, if what I'm saying to you is correct, this is a preordained moment. And the Holy Spirit convicting Jesus, the Holy Spirit giving him understanding and giving him wisdom, Jesus chooses, I will go to the cross. I am not going to run from the cross. I want to suggest to you that Jesus' whole life and everything that he did testified, don't run from the cross. And he's calling us to the same. Now let's turn to Matthew 20, verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. You ask yourself, what is the cross? What does the cross mean? How does the cross affect me? Why is the cross so important? Why is Jesus being lifted up the focus of everything written in Scripture? Here's a momentary answer. There's way more than this, but here's a little bit of an understanding. Even as the Son of Man came what? Not to be ministered unto. Jesus didn't come to be ministered unto. Jesus didn't show up here for a pat on the back. Jesus didn't show up here for somebody to say, we love you. Jesus didn't show up on this planet for the food. Jesus didn't show up here to do anything other but than to minister unto us. He came to minister and then to give his life a ransom for many. The Message Bible says it this way. This is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. This is more to the point. You talked about bondage this morning, Evelyn did. That's what Jesus is referring to here. He came to give his life in exchange for everybody who's held hostage. And now you're going to have to start asking yourself some questions. What in the world does that mean? I'm not hostage. I'm free. I've got everything that I need. I've got news for you. That's not the truth. The truth is what Jesus said. And you have to ask yourself, what does it mean to be held hostage? Am I hostage here in Brookings in this church at this moment? Yeah. Absolutely. According to Jesus, do I need to be set free? Yes, I do. Is it all going to happen at once? No, it's not. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. It doesn't happen in a moment. Your salvation is guaranteed to you by Christ at this moment. Now he's working with you for the rest of your adult life as a Christian to glorify him, and Christ is working with you to glorify him and to free you from the things that do not glorify him. Does that make sense? SDA Bible Commentary, Volume 5. Here for the first time, this scripture right here, here for the first time, Jesus makes a clear statement concerning his substitutionary death and what he was trying to accomplish for the first time. This aspect of his supreme sacrifice was clearly set forth by the prophet Isaiah more than seven centuries before he spoke this. What Messiah would do, what he was to accomplish. To set the captives, and you remember it from Isaiah, to set the captives what? Free. To set the captives free. Jesus said to give his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage, those who need to be set free. His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. And his sorrow gave me joy untold. So let's do a reality check on that reading. I love doing that. All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:13. His heart was broken and mine was mended. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end, he may establish what? His heart was broken. Mine was what? His heart was broken. My heart was established. He gave me a heart transplant. Let your hearts that they might be what? Unblameable in holiness before God. His heart was broken on the cross that might be mine might be unblameable. Do you feel a little more set free as a hostage? Do you feel a little more set free as a captive? Because the devil wants to tell you, you don't matter. The devil wants to tell you, you're going to die in your sin. The devil wants to convince you that you're worthless. And God said, my heart was broken that yours might be unblameable. Who are you going to believe? Do you feel the captivity? Do you see the door starting to open? Do you feel the key in the lock? Do you sense the fact that the gate is starting to open and Jesus is saying, come on out. You're no longer a hostage. His heart was broken, and mine was mended. He became sin, and now I am clean. John 15:3. John 15:3. He became sin. Now I am clean. What's this say? Jesus became sin, and now I'm clean. And what does Jesus say? Now you are clean because of what I have told you. Isn't that freeing? Do you sense the reality that you are not being held captive anymore because Jesus is telling you you're not? You're not being held captive. You are free. Don't run from the cross. And I can still hear this Catholic priest saying, begging the people, don't run from the cross. Because it's at the cross that you're set free. Don't run from the cross. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. The cross he carried bore my burden. Oh, really? Let's check that out. Matthew 11, verse 30. The cross that he carried, can you picture that? Jesus going to Golgotha with the cross, the burden that was laid on him by me. So the cross he carried bore my burden, Matthew 11, verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Wow. And I was talking with a friend last night. I said, is your life a burden? Are you frenzied in trying to understand what your life is about? So much so that you can't even think straight? Is this how burdened your life is? And I told him, I said, I'm going to be preaching to a group of people tomorrow, and I'm going to tell them that Jesus said that your burden can be light and your burden can be easy. Do you really want to accept that? I do. I want to be set free. I want to be no longer a captive. I want to understand what this means. The nails that held him set me free. John 8:36. The nails that held Jesus set me free. If the Son of Man, or the Son therefore shall what? What will happen? Then you will be free indeed. The nails that held him set me free. Don't run from the cross. Jesus proved that being nailed to a cross and following through with the word that he has spoken set you free. You tell me that's not true. It's right here. He's nailed to a cross. I'm set free. Go figure that out. Go figure that out. How can he be nailed to a cross that I might be set free? Unbelievable. His scars of suffering brought me healing, Mark 5:34. His scars of suffering brought me healing. Mark 5:34. And he said unto her, daughter, what's made you whole? Your faith. Do you have faith this morning? His scars of suffering will bring you healing. Do you have faith this morning? Daughter, your faith will make you whole. Brother, your faith will make you whole. Anyone that has faith in what I'm talking about here, which is only a repetition of what Christ has said, will make you whole. Give God the glory for this. I mean, this is the cross. Don't run from the cross. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. Amen? Ephesians 4, verse 10. He spilled his blood. It's like this huge transfusion. Jesus loses his blood on the cross, and the whole world's soul is filled because of what he's done. His own creation, his own children. He spilled his blood to fill our souls. Ephesians 4, verse 10. And he that descended, did he descend? Yes, he did. Is the same that also what? Ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And I want to suggest to you, he filled your soul with his blood. That's what I'm suggesting by the scripture. that after being nailed to the cross, he, in that dissension, ascended because he was willing to do what he said he was going to do. Set us free, filled our souls by his own blood. His crown of thorns made me royalty. Now, I've said it through several sermons here in this very church, and we don't understand it, and it's because we get bogged down, and these burdens that are supposed to be easy and light, they just keep hitting us, and we keep going down, and we keep getting heavier, and we keep thinking that, oh, this is too much, really. His crown of thorns made you royalty. Do you see why it's so important to spend time listening to Jesus and not to Fox News? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying. Listen to Jesus more and the world less, and you'll hear what Jesus has to say. Ephesians 4:10, we read that. His crown of thorns made me royalty. Romans 8:17. And who better than Paul to explain this? Friends, don't run from the cross. My heart was mended. I'm now clean. He bore my burden. I'm set free. He brought me healing. He's filled my soul. And now he said, you are royalty. And if I'm royalty, if we're children, then we're what? How do you become a child of God? How many here are a child of God? If you're a child of God, then this scripture is for you. It says, if you're a child of God, then you're an heir. I know millionaires. And they give their money to kids, their kids, and their kids become millionaires. And then their kids become millionaires, and their kids become... Why? Because there's lots of money, that's why. But Jesus isn't talking about money here. He's talking about a clean heart, a mended heart, a burden born, a setting free of being a captive. I know a lot of millionaires that are captive to their money. Do you believe me what I'm saying? They're captive to their money, and their money will never set them free. I don't care what they do with it. It will not buy this. There's only one thing that's going to buy this. That's surrender to Christ. It's not running from the cross. Don't run from the cross. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs. And we're heirs of God. And we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we have suffered with him, how many have suffered as a Christian? Some of you can't fool me. I already know you have suffered. The rest of you, I believe you. So, if we suffer with him, what's the result? You see, you can't see it now. You can't see it now because you can't imagine it. You can't imagine a changed body and living eternally with Jesus in a state of holiness because we're here, Ruth. We're here on this planet. And this promise is so dim right now, but believe that it's there. Believe what I'm telling you because Jesus is the one that authored every bit of this. His crown of thorns made me royalty. There it is. I don't know how else to explain it. His sorrow gave me joy untold. Revelation 21, verse 4. And everybody here has read this. Revelation 21, verse 4. His sorrow, what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, what Jesus experienced with people betraying him and calling him a devil and giving him the back and treating him like garbage, this is what he paid for. His sorrow gave me joy untold. And he's going to wipe away every tear from your eye. His sorrow is going to wipe every tear away from your eye. There's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, because this world and its deceptions will pass away. And you and I are going to live forever, Sandy. And Jim, you and I are going to sing duets because we'll both have a voice. You have one, I'm gaining mine. But I'm going to have a voice in heaven and we're going to sing duets. And David will play. And Bev, you and I are going to cook potlucks in the kingdom because then I'll know how to cook. And we're going to have all eternity to have fun and experience the love that Jesus has told us about here. We just can't see it now because the darkness is closing in. That's why you've got to push away that which blocks out the words of Jesus. You got to push it away and hang on to Him. Don't run from the cross. He was despised and rejected, stripped of His garment and oppressed. And for every negative, I'm going to throw this back at you. But I am loved and accepted, and I've been given a robe of righteousness. Are you with me? He was despised and rejected, stripped of His garments and by men. And He put a robe of righteousness on me because of that stripping. Are you with me? That's what happened. Jesus paid it all. That's where the song comes from. He paid it all that I might receive all. It was His life for mine, and how could that ever have been? That He would die. God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. Friends, don't run from the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word, for the encouragement we find, for the strength that we experience, for the reality that You're setting us free at this very moment, that no longer do we have to be captive or hostage of this planet. Father, give us a vision of Jesus and His glory and His love, and help us to know what He's done for us, that we might glorify You. For this is our prayer in His name. Amen.